Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to today's telephone conference of Allianz SE on the occasion of the publishing of the business results for the third quarter 2012. For your information, this conference will be taped, and I would now like to hand over to Mr. Christian Gross. Thank you very much, and good morning also from my side. With me, I have Oliver Bäte, member of the CFO of the Allianz SE. He will guide you through the figures of the third quarter, and afterwards we will have the question and answers round. Now, Mr. Bäte. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I would like to welcome you from sunny Munich, and the weather really fits well for good figures of the third quarter. As usual, I will give you an overview after the third quarter on our nine-month result, just a concise one, and then I'll talk about the details of the third quarter, first on the level of the group and then in the individual segments, so P&C, Life and Asset Management, and then we'll sum all up at the end and give you an outlook on the remainder of the business year, the 8 weeks that are still ahead of us. So if you look on your document, I'll try to give you the page numbers always on to let you know which slides, which page I'm on. And I would like to start on page 3, where you see the most important highlights for the first 9 months of the business year 2012. Our total revenues have grown by 2.4% to more than 80 billion euros. Our operating profit has grown to 7.2 billion euros, and the net income was up strongly and went up to 4.2 billion euros. That's to do with the fact that in the third quarter of the previous year we had some significant hits, especially from the government debt crisis and the impairments we had on our Greek sovereign bonds. So our capital position is strong, that continues to be strong, and we further reduced our financial risks, and therefore we feel well prepared for the current market situation. On page 4, you will get an overview of the most important key figures, so total revenues, operating profit, and net income, comparing the first nine months of 2011 and 2012. And on the right-hand side, you can see the operating results for our different segments. In all areas of the business, P&C, life, health, and asset management, clear improvements, whereas in the area of corporate and other, so our central costs, we have a slight decrease, which is linked above all to reduced interest rates on government bonds. Now, a few details on the third quarter, and I would like to start on page 6. In the third quarter of the year 2012, our total revenues grew by 4.7% to 25 billion approximately. Our operating profit grew to 2.5 billion euros, and the net income was at 1.4 billion. As I said before, the previous year's net income of 0.3 billion was, of course, strongly influenced by one-off effects. On page 7, you can see the development over the last quarters with the most important figures, revenues, operating profit, and net income. And you can see the three quarters of the year 2012 have brought us great results in all three of these figures. And the whole is then also reflected on our balance sheet figures. And on page 8, you can see an overview of our conglomerate solvency, the solvency ratio, which is the most important key figure for solvency these days, which is based on the conglomerate directive. The solvency ratio has increased furthermore to 190%, and we feel well positioned by this. Also, our shareholders' equity has grown again by 8% compared to June, to close to 52 billion euros. So much on the overview of the third quarter, and now I would like to go into some details first on the group and then about these segments. On page 10, you can see the revenue development. Red is P&C, blue life and health, and green asset management. And I would like to start with asset management, and I would like to tell you we would like to differentiate between total growth and what we call internal growth, which is adjusted for foreign exchange changes and potential acquisitions and mergers. So we've grown for the group 4.7%, in PC 5.2%, life health remained flat more or less, and we had an extremely strong growth in asset management. And even adjusted for foreign exchange effects, we still have a 25% growth in asset management. On page 11, you see the components of the operating profit in the different segments. We had an overall growth of 33% almost, and all segments contributed to this, apart from the corporate segment, where we had lower interest rate income compared to the previous year's quarter, and a slightly lower dividends also from our holdings. Page 12 is, if I may say so, the most difficult in all our documents because it shows the non-operating items, and I would like to first guide your awareness to the first line on the left-hand side. That's the most important one, the realized gains and losses and impairment on our investments. And here we've seen an improvement of close to 670 million compared to the previous year's quarter. And what's the reason for this? Well, you can see this in the gray box on the right-hand side. If you look at the 931 million we had in the impairments in the last year's quarter, that was reduced to 56 million this year. So we had a significantly reduced number of impairments both on our equities and our debt securities. We also reduced the number of realized gains and losses. Last year we had realized gains of approximately 300 million, and this year we have them down to approximately 100 million. That's the most important driver for change. And also another point that you could look at on the left-hand side is the line other non-operating. Here we also had a significant improvement. Last year we had high write-offs, especially on the Hartford warrants, and these haven't been reflected any longer, and this leads then to the improvement of more than 233 million for this position. Everything else in the non-operating items is not that important this year. And just one last remark on this page, the box at the bottom right, that shows the balance of unrealized gains and losses in equities and fixed income, and both items have strongly increased compared to June, especially the unrealized gains from fixed income instruments, which are developing towards 10 billion for us. So much for the non-operating items and the non-operating results, and maybe just a few words about our net income. That is on page 13. The net income for the 9 months and that we've discussed, and also for the third quarter. The tax rate, effective tax rate in the third quarter was 34%, which is approximately 4 percentage points above our expectations, which is due to the fact that in Europe there is the understandable wish of many governments to increase tax payments, and that doesn't only hit Allianz, and it will also continue to be the case. So we have to assume that the tax rates of below 30% are something of the past. We will have to consider tax rates that are significantly above 30% for the future. So much for the group, and now I would like to talk about the property and casualty segment, and we'll start on page 15. Our revenues in P&C grew, as I've said before, by more than 5% to 11.4 billion euros. The operating profit was at 1.2 billion, which was supported in this quarter by lower natural catastrophe claims. And, of course, this is something that cannot remain the case for all the quarters, and we've seen this in the fourth quarter with Sandy, and we'll talk about this in a minute. The combined ratio was at 96.3%, and it contained approximately 8 base points from our net cat budget. That was from net cat that was below our budget. We're calculating with 2 to 3%, and we had 1.5 percentage points of a favorable runoff included. On page 16, you see our revenues, and here we have to take two effects into account. One is our growth of or internal growth of 1.7%, so adjusted for foreign exchange effects. And the internal growth consists of higher prices. That was plus 1.8% and a little bit reduced volume. What's good is that we continue to grow in Germany, plus 3.2%, also in France, more than 4%. Latin America, strong growth, over 20%, but also Australia, and in Australia and in Asia-Pacific, we have continued to grow strongly. So especially in the markets where we see a good profitability situation, we've seen growth, and we're highly satisfied with that. The results in Spain and Eastern Europe are somewhat disturbed by the economic development there, but nevertheless, on the profitability side, we've seen great results in these areas. Page 17 shows you the operating profit development. On the right-hand side, you can see an improvement of 148 million in our underwriting result. That is due to the reduction of claims from NatCat, above all NatCat claims that we had to a significant degree in the previous year. Page 18 gives you an overview about one of our most important key figures in P&C, that is the combined ratio. We had a loss ratio of 79% and the expense ratio went down to 27.1%, so that shows that our productivity measures do have an effect, especially when it comes to administrative costs, so a good result. In sum, we see improvements in many areas. In Germany, we're significantly below 100%. Switzerland, France, Italy, great results, fantastic results. But also our reinsurance and our large customer business, we see great results across the board. The only negative exception is the United States, as has been the case over quite some time. So we are strengthening our balance sheet there, which of course has a negative effect on our combined ratio. And this will be probably the case for the next 1.5 to 2 years. But in sum, we've seen a very strong result in this segment. In spite of the weakness in the United States, we're showing great results in property and casualty. Page 19 gives you an overview of the accident year loss ratio before runoff. Compared to the second quarter, I've changed the presentation on the top right. You see the accident year loss ratio, including and excluding NatCats, and you can see the stable trend. And on the bottom left, you can see why the loss ratio has changed and in which direction, what comes from frequency, what comes from price, and what comes from natural catastrophes, and then the net result. So you can see that the price increases were stronger than the increase in frequency, so that's a positive development for us. The runoff result, you can see a downward trend, but that is not really the case in several areas. We've increased our reserves and improved our balance sheet, especially when it comes to Fireman's Fund. And without Fireman's Fund, the runoff ratio would be at approximately 3.5%, so exactly in the framework of our expectations. One word about our expense situation, and you can see this on page 20. Here we're dividing the cost development in administrative expenses, other acquisition expenses, and commissions that we pay. And you can see over the last 3 years that the administrative expenses as a ratio of the overall costs have decreased, which is highly positive for us. Now, the investment side, that's important for us. Interest rates continue to go down, and we need to make sure that we create the right yields for our customers. And you can see this on page 21. On the one hand, our average asset base grows, which is important for us. But on the right-hand side, we can see that current yield goes down, which means that we need an improvement of our technical profitability to balance that. But with our strong asset managers in the group, we also have the opportunity to create better investment results also compared to our peers, and will continue to do so in the future. On page 22, you can see the operating investment results, which was at 795 million for the quarter. That's below the usual average of 810 to 830 million. that was due to technical effects mainly. On the one hand side, we had a special expense effort in one of our large units, which led to higher investment expenses, so approximately $10 million higher than usual. That was one of the factors. And then we had several one-off effects in some funds that need to be taken into account here. So much regarding property and casualty. And now I would like to talk about the segment Life Health. And I would like to start with that on page 24. The revenues in Life Health have remained stable in the quarter at $11.9 billion. Our operating asset base has continued to grow to €468 billion. Our operating profit has grown strongly by up almost 60% to €0.8 billion. And the new business margin was at 1.6%, which led to a value of new business of €149 million. Page 25 shows you the revenue development, and this is a very heterogeneous development according to the markets, depending on how we control our profitability. And I would like to talk about the markets in some detail. Allianz Life, compared to the previous year, has seen a slight decline of from 3.471 to 3.466 billion euros. That is especially due to single premiums, and so we have continued to forego low profitability products, and we continue to grow in our traditional fields, so we see a positive development in a very difficult market from our point of view. We had growth in Switzerland, especially exactly in the right segments. We've grown strongly in France. There is also a move towards quality in France. And in Italy, we had slight decreases, which was above all due to the fact that in the bank distribution side, you can only create revenue by offering interest rates that are much too high from our point of view, and we don't want to do this. In Spain, we've seen good development in spite of the difficult situation, and the same is also true for Asia-Pacific. You will remember that after we closed our Japanese business, we had some negative development for quite some time, and now we've returned to the growth path. Then there are two segments that are still negative. In Central and Eastern Europe, we want to secure our margins, and especially in two markets in Eastern Europe, we ended low-margin business. And then also in the United States, and we've foregone some revenue to stabilize our margins. Now, what does it look like if you look at the new business margins? Page 26 shows you the new business margin of 1.6% is still very positive against the market situation, and you can calculate to earn your capital costs, you need 70 to 100 business basis points of margin, so we are very comfortably here with our result of 1.6%. The operating asset base and its development is shown on page 27. I've told you that we had a great result here. We had slightly negative net inflows, very positive developments in Germany and Asia are being set up by outflows in Eastern Europe and Italy. I've mentioned this, especially in the bank channel, and slight net outflows also in France. The operating result is shown on page 28, a strong result, very high also compared to the previous year. We have the third quarter with more than 800 million that were shown, and especially compared to the previous year, there's a clear improvement. And as I said before, the previous year was also coined by the effects, and especially when we look at the investment results due to the write-off on Greek sovereigns. Our current yield on page 29, is at 1.06%. That's for the quarter, so for the year, we're talking about more than 4%. This is still a very good result. And that also leads to the fact that the investment result on page 30, 4.364 billion euros, 40.7% up compared to the previous year. This is not due to the fact that we have a strong increase of interest rate income, but the net harvesting and other results has been increased. We had a negative result of 714 million in last year, and now we are at 480 million. So on average, within our average, this is an item that shows strong volatility in a different capital market situation. So much for life and health, and I would now like to continue with our asset management segment on pages 32 and following. We had a great result in asset management once again in the third quarter. Our assets under management have grown to 1.8 billion euros, third-party net inflows of 1,827 billion, sorry, and third-party net flows were at 31.5 billion. The operating profit was up 58%, and our cost-income ratio has improved to 54%, which was also supported by high performance fees, and we received an overproportionately high part of this in the third quarter. Page 33 shows you the development of the assets under management. While others are shrinking, we've continued to grow continuously, especially when we're talking about the third-party assets under management with 1.4 trillion. And on page 34, you see the net inflows, 2.3% of the third-party assets under management and 31.5 billion, the second best result that we've ever seen in this segment in a quarter. That is, of course, also reflected in the fees and commissions in this segment. As you can see on page 35, you see the development. The increase was overproportionately high with 36% to 1.8 billion euros. And I would also like to mention that not just the fees and commissions went up, but also the margins, which are at 42 basis points, which is a great value. On page 36, you see the development of operating profit for asset management. We've had a jump from 537 million to 849 million euros, which also reflects that the cost development in asset management has developed underproportionately in this quarter and also in the previous quarters compared to the previous year. In asset management, the first quarter, when the economic situation was still difficult and unforeseeable, we decided to forego or to push back some additional investments, and we've pushed them back and transferred them to next year, which will then, of course, reduce our profitability to a certain degree. We'll still stay profitable, but maybe not that much. Now, the different segments within asset management, PIMCO and Allianz Global Investors. Page 37 shows you the overview of the PIMCO key figures, 1.5 billion in the new structure of assets under management, then 32.2 billion in net flows, and an operating profit of 748 million. And on page 38, some information that you might not be familiar with, but this is highly important for us to do away with some myths. It's almost that the PIMCO is an American company that is only focusing on the United States. And this might be true if we look at the regional split to a certain degree. We continue to grow in the United States, but we're also growing outside of the United States, in Europe, and in Asia. Then it's almost said it's a service provider for institutional customers, but what you can see in the center is that the retail business has grown strongly. In the new structure, we have more than 527 billion of retail customer assets under management at PIMCO. And then they also say something about the, there's always said something about the core products, and you can see that the core strategies continue to be important, but their importance has declined. And so new strategies, new asset classes have grown in importance for PIMCO, and they've continued to do so in the last 3 years. They grew from 53% to 58% of the business. So more new business, more business from the new strategies than from the traditional, like the absolute return funds. So we think this is a highly interesting development. One remark on page 39, Allianz Global Investors. The operating profit was at 77 million euros. And in the new structure, we have a cost-income ratio of close to 77%, which will improve to under 60%. The three-year outperformance has improved to 65%. We've taken additional measures this quarter. We had restructuring measures in the second quarter, and we've done a lot to increase the outperformance value. And in the new structure, we have close to 300 billion assets under management, so also a major asset manager in the international comparison that is developing on plan. Now I would like to sum up the most important messages of the third quarter, and you see this, the summary on page 41. The third quarter has showed a good development, and when it comes to total revenues, operating profit, and net income, we saw great results, and we've continued to strengthen our capital position against a difficult backdrop, and that leads to the fact that we have strong results after 9 months and across all the key figures, and that's why we decided to change our outlook for the operating profit. We had a target of 8.2 billion plus minus 500 million, and we want to lift this to 9 billion euros now. Two remarks in this regard. The net income will continue to be influenced by balance sheet strengthening, including the investment de-risking and restructuring activities, so that we can keep our good position in the difficult competition. And secondly, this also includes our previous estimates on Hurricane Sandy. Due to a clear reinsurance structure, we have a cap on the losses that could be incurred. And even if we look at this threshold, we're convinced this threshold value. We're convinced that we can stick to our forecast of 9 billion euros, which shows the strength of the development in this fiscal year and the strength of Allianz as a whole. That brings me to the end of my remarks, and now I'm looking forward to your questions. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star or asterisk key, followed by the digit 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. So just to remind you, please press star 1 to ask a question. We will pause for a short moment to allow everyone to signal their questions. Then we'll come to the first question today of Michael Fleming of Börsen-Zeitung. Good morning, Mr. Bethe. Good morning, Mr. Groth. Three questions, if you permit. One on asset management and on the balance sheet risks, and thirdly on the United States. Asset management first. You have stated that the performance-related commissions or fees were relatively high, but you also said that the operating result for the future would remain high. So are the 800 million realistic for the future? And could you tell me what's relevant in this regard? Then the balance sheet risks and restructuring. You said Allianz spends money on this. Maybe you could give me some more details. So where do we have the most important regional restructure measures, and what are the balance sheet risks that Allianz deals with most? And then third question, the United States Fireman's Fund. You had mentioned that this is an outlier. So will there be any strategic thoughts and considerations at the end of the year regarding this business? Okay, good morning, Mr. Fleming. Let me start with the last topic. Strategic considerations, we have them all the time, but we're now trying to put this business back on a good track. This won't just take a few months, but just a few weeks, but this will take several months, and the market situation also makes it difficult for us, so we'll continue to work on this for the next 1.5 years or so to bring the finance fund back on track, and all our operative programs are linked to that. Then the balance sheet risks. Well, just to give you a few examples from the second quarter, if you remember in Allianz Global Investors, for example, we simplified the complexity of the portfolio structures and took a charge of approximately 60 million against it. Then in Germany, we've taken some restructuring measures, for example, to improve our results in property and casualty, and also the bank distribution channel at Commerzbank that referred to the P&C products was restructured. These are two or three of the examples that we've have so far, and we'll continue to go in this direction. Now, PIMCO, I don't like to talk about specific products, and you asked whether we can continuously expect results of more than 800 million. Well, I wouldn't take this into account. We had performance fees of more than 250 million euros in this quarter, even though we still assume that we will get further performance fees. The height was unusual. I wouldn't like to give you a specific quarterly figure for the future, but we cannot assume that we'll stay above 800 million per quarter on a continuous basis. Do you permit me another follow-up question? Of course. In your analyst talks at the half-year press conference, I had understood you that you would look consider Fireman's Fund at the end of the year again, and now you're talking about 1.5 years. So, well, in the summer we always have our strategic dialogues, and in the summer we talked about the strategy for the U.S. PMC market, and we've introduced a clear program for revenue improvements and cost reductions. We want to strengthen the balance sheet there, all in the framework of the normal planning, and now we'll go to work for the next 1.5 years to improve the results. That's it. Okay, thank you.
Next question, please. Ms. Ulrike Dauer from Wall Street Journal. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I have a question about the forecast 2013. You talked about the outlook for the industry, but not for Allianz itself. And some people said something, and can we reckon with that right now, or when will you give an outlook? We don't give an outlook at the moment, Mrs. Dauer, good morning, and we don't give any outlook for the next year yet. When can we expect that your successor, or, well, that is done by the entire board, and Mr. Diekmann and Mr. Wemmer, probably with the financial statement 2012. So analysts need to be patient. Exactly, you say. Thank you very much, Mrs. Dauer. Next question, please. Axel Hoppner from the Handelsblatt, please.
Good morning, Mr. Peter. Good morning, Mr. Gross. Question about Outlook 2013 and two questions about U.S. So we talked about the operating business and not about the major topics like sovereign crisis and euro crisis. Is there a kind of relaxation on the horizon, or would you be prepared for shocks? And also with the food speculation, will you maintain your position, or will you fix this opinion if others leave, that you might leave as well and follow? Yeah, good morning, Mr. Hoppner. Well, further to the euro crisis, Allianz, hopefully, is always well prepared. We're quite happy that the market situation has relaxed following the measures of ECB under the supervision of Mario Draghi, and also the major progress we've made, whether it's the banking union and regulations. But there's still a lot to be done. So we will always make sure, whatever scenario is there, that our balance sheet is strong and is able to respond in crisis times. Further to food, let me say on the side, we said that we're going to establish a board on a committee on a board level that deals with that. So we've not only enriched our own competence, but also we have an external advisory board that we added, so in making sure that it is also being concerted with the most important interest groups. I'd like to say as a side, for this year, for many of our customers, we were there when it became difficult. There were a lot of crop losses in this year, not only in the U.S., but also in other areas in the world. And our crop insurance fully paid more than 100 million of compensation. By the way, these farmers will be able to further grow their plants, and they don't have to worry where they would get their seeds. That is probably not in the public awareness, but that helps you to get a more differentiated perspective on that topic. Thank you. Next question, please. Reuters, Mr. Christian Kremer. Here we go. Hello, gentlemen. I have three questions. You said that you looked at reinsurance and that you have a clear limit. So your own burdens are limited. Where is the amount of the upper limit? And I'd also like to know, what do you think of the market assessment? So it's 5 to 20 billion euros for the industry. How realistic do you find that, and what would be the maximum amount? That is about Xanti, then third about securities. What is the share quota, and whether you want to add shares, and in what directions, and further to Draught, you said that more than 100 million is covered. Is that euros or US dollar, and will that be activated in Q3? And maybe you can say this a bit more in more detail. Mr. Kremer, yes, good morning. My colleagues will hand in the figures for our share quota. Let me say a few more things about Sandy. The first topic is there's been a very special event, which was so difficult because we were not talking about normal storm or wind losses. We had also flood losses, which have a major effect in commercial areas with interruptions of business. Floods are difficult to assess on a technical basis. That's why it's going to take quite some time until we know the actual amount of the losses actually occurred and suffered. And we have our people over there in order to assess that over there. Well, first of all, none of our customers died, and we don't have any fatal cases of our associates either. And that's why I think we managed to face that storm well, and all the operational premises were operational despite the interruptions of power. You could not travel anyway. But despite all that, we maintained our operation, which is always good to mention, and that we didn't have any human losses. Further to the estimate, we don't give any concrete figures. We believe that would not be serious at the moment. In the next weeks and months to come, we're going to see how these figures develop. And so we don't want to shoot out a very quick figure, but instead we want to have a proper figure instead of saying something too early. That is what I would like to say about Sandy. The second topic, so looking at the hedging measures in the share quota, where are we standing? That is 4.8% of our capital investment, and we'd like to expand real assets, but also for rating reasons and due to the economic solvability, we pay attention to the optimization of our capital position, and shares are fully burdened with capital requirements. We try to find other assets that show good returns and less capital requirements, and that's important. And further to the effects, we have the figure, the 100 million referred to US dollars in that draw. Up to the third quarter, the US alone, we paid 89 euros and reservations of 89 euros, and also further expenses might be added in the next quarter. Is that all you wanted to know? There's also the upper limit of the reinsurance, and you elegantly ignored that. No, I did not elegantly ignore this question, but we don't disclose that figure. I'm sorry, we don't want to say anything about that limit. Next question. Mirko Reitke from Platobrief. Good morning. I have three questions. Some days ago, a study was published based on which German insurance companies, at least 20%, could be endangered. Mr. Peter, do you also see an danger for the industry on the whole that might also have adverse effects on Allianz by some time? That would you also advise the smaller insurances and helping them by offering them investment opportunities for these smaller insurance companies? I have a question about the new business margin in life. Well, you said that you're still fine with the 0.5% to 1%, that it is a way in order to earn the capital costs, but it has been decreasing continuously. Would you have to be worried? And maybe you can say quantify the total amount when you say that this surplus, that also you would find effects coming from measures in order to strengthen the balance sheet. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'd like to talk about danger for the industry. Well, the first thing we should say is this discussion is important out there, that the public talks about low interest rates, because reality is that the savers pay for that the governments are under so much stress and that banks have to be refurbished, and that is definitely a fact. And that's why it's good that the press also focuses on the low interest environment. With regard to life insurance, our perspective is that a lot of companies in the industry have a very solid position. In particular, that is true for Allianz. So those who are prudent with their business, but there are also industry, there are members of the industry whose balance is not that strong, and that's why we have to have measures in order to guarantee and strengthen the guarantees in these houses. And obviously, they are not focusing on the surpluses, but securing the guarantees. That needs to be essential and top priority for each company. Well, in terms of offering help, of course, our capital investors in PIMCO and Global Investors are not only successfully doing business for our own companies and for our clients, and also for insurance companies. So we are happy to receive any inquiries. New business margin, 1.6%. Yes, it is declining under this very strong decline of the interest. And it also takes some time within Allianz if you want to change to a product portfolio of distribution with regard to career conditions and product design. That's why we continuously improve our margins. So one-off contributions on the bank side will no longer be done. We're improving the risk components in our products, and so we want to continue that in the next months and years. Allianz consistently does that, but if you see declining interest like that in 1 year, you simply will not be able to change the margin structure overnight. But believe me, we're continuously working on improving the situation, and please do not worry about our margin control as a shareholder. And then you asked a third question. What was that? Measures to strengthen the balance sheet. Exactly. And your concrete question was, what does that concretely mean for the annual surplus? Please understand, we do not disclose any forecast, even for the improvement of the capital market environment, for this concrete capital investors. Now, please look at the figures of the first 9 months, and you find a disproportional development between operational result and annual surplus. And if you want to make a forecast for the entire year, you might assume a similar ratio, which we do as well. But there we have still another 8 weeks to run, and that's why I'd rather refrain from saying anything regarding to annual surplus. Thank you very much. Your next question, please. That is Friederike Krieger from Financial Times, Germany. Hello. I have three questions. The quota in the U.S. and is that because of the drought? That's why we have this high loss ratio, and also with regard to corporates, where we had declines. Maybe you can say that in a bit more detail, what happened with corporates. And I'd like to probe on the share quota. You said that you'd rather focus on other assets that also provide for a good return, but also need less capital. I mean, what did you think about? Because Solvency II says that infrastructure also needs a lot of equity that has to be provided. These were your two questions? Well, three. Okay. Shares, corporate, I can make it briefly, and also the... let me talk about the U.S. first. And we mentioned crop in the loss ratio. Definitely, that is significant for the quarter three, and also strengthening our reserves. I mentioned that for the third quarter 2012. These two items drive the development of the real loss ratio in Fireman's Fund. And with further to investment strategy, we could talk about that for quite a long time. Next Tuesday, my colleague Maximilian Zimmerer will be in Frankfurt and holds a press talk where he's going to talk about our investment strategy in more detail. I'd cordially invite you to come to that event next Tuesday, because then we can discuss everything in more detail. And the third topic, what happens in the corporate segment? Well, typically, there is a certain plan for dividend and interest income, and due to the lower interest, of course, our interest income is lower. We had one or two failures in dividends, and particularly related to our banking participation, and that explains the slight decline downwards. Is that all right? Well, investment? Yeah, further to investment, I would at least like to see one area that we could invest in instead of shares. Well, we look at nominal returns, and also, you know, always in shares you have to look at what is that. It might be plus 30% in two quarters, but also minus 30. We always look at risk adjustment returns, and we find various corporate bonds investments, but also infrastructure, which is not the case that infrastructure is an investment that requires higher capital. That is not the case if that it applies to equity investments, and you can also have leveraged structured infrastructure that you can look at. And on the leverage side, we also talk about different topics. That's a wide field, Mrs. Krieger. And that's why I would like to invite you to come to Frankfurt. Mr. Zimmerer will be happy to see you there. Next question, please. Thomas Hengartner from Finanz und Wirtschaft. Hello, I've got two questions. One relates to the economic solvability that you mentioned briefly, but you did not go into further detail. And solvency one could be increased slightly, but not the economic solvability. Probably it has even deteriorated. Maybe you can say something about that. And the second aspect relates to the P&C business, in particular to the non-current third-party liability. There's a Zurich that had to add additional reserves in all, because there's an increased pressure on prices, and also Munich Re mentioned that there are inflationary risks which are can be felt for the industry. And what is your perspective on the dangers that it has on your company? First of all, your economic solvency, that has increased to 200% by the end of the third quarter, and it has even improved further due to various factors. The stress in the government bonds, in particular in Spain and Italy, after the invention of ECB, have significantly improved. We also did something, particularly in Germany. The average investment term, the duration, was prolonged, which reduces the interest risk significantly. That led to an improvement and of the solvability, and we're going to continue with that approach. And we also decreased the exposures towards certain government bonds which need high amounts of capital. That improves the solvability on the economic side, despite a declining interest scenario, which had an adverse effect. And that also applies to our rating capital that needs to be improved. We believe this is one of our strengths in this environment. The second question related to the various areas of the non-current insurances in P&C. Well, of course, we checked whether we of certain industry, particularly when it comes to occupational or doctors' third-party liability, based on today's findings, which do not have any comparable problems. Of course, you cannot always exclude that there might be a negative development in the future, but as per today, there is no clue that we have any comparable negative experience in our business in Europe. Nevertheless, loss in inflation showed, loss inflation is quite important, and that reflects an overproportional inflation in medical costs, for example, in particular when it comes to legal costs, which we know in the U.S. have taken a very interesting development in the U.S. Be quite careful, probably my last remark, that just lately there was a study from Bank of America Merrill Lynch that looked at the reserve position of the various major insurance companies, and Allianz was particularly positively rated due to the improvement of the reserve position, in particular in the past 3 years. So that's why we do appreciate that report, and we work on continuously improve our position, which is a competitive edge for us. These will be my answers to your question. Thank you very much. Thank you. Next question. Jean-Philippe Lacour from Les Echos. Yes, gentlemen, I've got two questions. Further to France, the figures are quite good during the past quarter, and based on the trend, I'd like to ask, well, this last quarter, this was because of a GAN Euro Cottage portfolio, with regard to P&C, and probably you can explain the situation in France on a general approach. Allianz instead of GTF, is that strategy working fine, and are there problems with the agents, and have they been clarified? This is the question about France. Secondly, you see the growth is driven by emerging markets in all areas. That's something you would definitely find with that two-digit growth like Latin America or Asia-Pacific. Are you able to forecast that these two-digit growth rates will continue, or would you rather see a normalization with regard to these growth figures? That would be my two questions. Thank you very much, Mr. Lacour. Hopefully, and we plan that our growth in the emerging markets will go on. Nevertheless, when it comes to the effects on the overall portfolio, please take a look at the amounts. We're quite satisfied with this development, but it's not sufficiently big enough in order to drive the overall portfolio. But we continue to expect further growth and the profitability. Your second question related to France. No, figures do not reflect the integration of GAN Euro Cottage. Not yet possible, but we're quite happy with that situation with our French entity. And this also comprises Allianz France, but also Euler Hermes that is located in France, and Allianz Assistance, also domiciled in Paris, essential group entities. They are in France, and they're developing very nicely. We were quite happy in our French subsidiaries. And, further to the brokers, I'm not sure. Please ask me when I'm in the new task next year. I don't have a full picture. Ask me again once I have assumed the new task next year. Thank you. Our next question comes from Heike Jahrberg from Tagesspiegel. Good morning. I just want to probe on the food speculation and a few more questions about life insurance. And with food speculations, you said there's this committee on the board level. I would like to know, will there be a resolution that will be adopted, or is that just an accompanying activity so that the committee is like a standing committee that looks at activities that should be taken? Or can you tell us how you want to go on with that segment? As further to life insurance, you said that Allianz has a solid position, others probably do not have that solid position. And being a connoisseur of that industry, do you see any concrete dangers in companies that, of course, you would not mention? I know that. What about Allianz? What is the average interest at the moment? What would you need in order to fully cover the old assets? And you said that we should not focus on the surplus, but we should rather invest on a solid and long-term basis. That probably may say that the surpluses might decline in the long run. Thanks for your questions, further to speculation and crop. A few more principal remarks. Allianz Group does not invest directly into commodities or food commodities, and there are always different disclosures, but that's not true. And like Oxfam and others, that the food problems is one of the major challenges for the society and our politics. So this gap between offer and demand has different reasons, and there's strong increase of population, biofuels, but also crop losses due to climatic conditions, where Allianz is one of the leading providers of addressing this topic and ensuring that there will be a stable offer of crop products. Beyond that, there are topics that relate to water supplies, which is a topic we've been taking very seriously for quite some time, and also the increasing energy prices. That is the portfolio. And this close connection between the capital market and speculations, and that drives things, and that is a bit too simplified. That's why you have to look at the overall picture. Secondly, so we had some sub-funds. In the past, there was always the question, where do we invest within the framework of this group that I was mentioning before, which is led by Jay Ralph, a board member of Allianz. We look at every individual remark and observation coming from the environment, and we follow up on that, and then we also make individual adjustments based on these observations. We don't have any universal statements. We don't do this or we do that. We look at all the individual investments. That is always not the answer to the question of whether we do it or not. And it's always going to be asked on an individual basis with the full obtainment of the opinion of our experts. I said it for the half year. Sometimes my son comes to say, hey, puppy, if it will be extreme, so we cannot insure cars anymore because they also have a CO2 emission. That is a reference point, this example. Of course, we need to be responsible. We have to assume responsibility. But again, we have to ask ourselves what makes sense and what is not making sense. Now, when dealing with crops, I think we're quite comfortable because we have an ongoing exchange of ideas with the interest groups. But we do not have any general statement in this respect. Further to life insurance, we do not make any statements, of course, about any other companies. And when it comes to surpluses, that is basically a function driven by the interest revenues of life insurance. And due to our strong balance sheets, Allianz is one of the companies that is related to the environment of the market, has the strongest income strength, and we believe that we're going to give our customers a lot of profit shares. Our current interest in Germany currently, by the way, is more than 4%. And plus, the final surplus that comes on top, that means the overall interest is 4.5%. I'd like to ask which bank in Germany is able to give that interest with that security like Allianz? Thank you very much.
Our next question, please. By Steffen Weyer of DPA AFX. Good morning, gentlemen. There's not much that remains to be asked by myself, but maybe I missed one point. Have you said something about Hurricane Isaac, Mr. Bäte, and what you had to pay for this? And then I also wanted to ask you about the income goal. Munich Re has announced a higher dividend. For you, this is always also based on the operating results. So can shareholders hope for a higher dividend? And then the third question, you assume that Solvency II will be introduced. What does it mean if this has been postponed? Were all your efforts then in vain, or will you profit from that anyway? Okay, let me start with your third question, Solvency II. The first statement is the industry needs a risk-based framework. We need a framework that makes it possible to ignore future risks. And with the delayed introduction of Solvency II, we believe that it will be introduced in a delayed way, and we hope that there will be a pan-European solution. The largest risk that we see is that there will be individual regulations per country, which cannot be in the European interest and is certainly not in the interest of Allianz, because then we had to do everything 25 times. So the improvement of the internal model and risk management were, of course, not in vain at all. We feel much more comfortable than we felt in the past and will continue to invest into the improvement of our systems. Then Hurricane Isaac, well, that's something we've received. We have a low double-digit million amount that we've set aside for this, so no major event. And I won't give you any statements or outlooks on the dividend, because for Allianz at least, this is the supervisory board. It's the supervisory board to decide on the dividend, and the board of management will make a proposal to the supervisory board at the end of the year based on the result. And for us, it's important that we can offer a dividend continuity, and I'm certain that we can do that. Thank you very much. And just to check the double digits amount you were talking about by Isaac, and that was euros or dollars? Euros. And for the drought as well? Yeah. Next question, please. By Christian Krema of Reuters. Yeah, just one follow-up on Southern Europe. You have a high amount of Italian government bonds. You would call them a solid investment. I would say a keg of gunpowder. And do you fear that there are still any risks, or have you used the recovery of spreads to sell bonds from southern European countries, including Italy? Oh, thank you. Okay, our position, we stick with what we've said over the last 2 years. We believe that Italy is an important country, an important European country, which has taken the right measures or introduced the right steps to improve the fiscal situation, and we have a very positive view towards this country. That's the first point. Then secondly, in the first quarter of the year, we invested in Italian government bonds at this low point. We did this in Germany with significant reduction compared to the nominal value of up to 70% or so. So even if you assume a restructuring, which is always against the nominal value, we had a significant risk buffer included. And over the last few weeks, as the market values have risen that much, and we didn't want to increase our market price volume here, we sold successfully, so investment management of Allianz has done a great job there, but we still have exposure of 30 million there. 30 billion. Next question. Once again by Reuters, this time Mr. Jonathan Gold. Good morning. Just a short question about Sandy, and even if your possible losses through Sandy are capped, I wanted to ask you that it said that a lot of the costs depend on whether Sandy will be seen as a hurricane or a tropical storm or what this will be. This would then have an influence on the consequences for the policyholders there. And Could you say something? Could this turn into a large problem for the policyholders, or is that rather unimportant? No, Mr. Gold, there's certainly a large difference whether at the end of the day the whole thing is qualified as a hurricane, which would then lead to uncontributions under the corporate and retail sector. Some people have positioned themselves, but we are waiting. This needs to be clarified. Experts have been need to check how strong was the wind at landfall, and all that does make a huge difference. That's true, whether it was a hurricane or a tropical storm. This has effects. Okay, and then if you permit another question on the life development, you've shown great development for Western Europe. Is this more due to the fact that in the previous year's quarter the development was weak, or is that or how can it happen that it's due to the fact that consumers are still uncertain, or Benelux and Spain, as you said, there is a huge plus in certain Western European markets. Okay, Mr. Gold, let me distinguish between industrial trends and what's going on at Allianz. The industry as a whole is in a difficult situation. We see reduced revenues in several markets, but as in all the industries where the situation gets difficult, there's a separation between high quality and lower quality companies. And we are in the position that, thanks to our financial strength, we find the trust of our consumers. And also the companies have to look for solid companies, and that leads to growth then for solid providers, and that's to the detriment of the weaker companies. Okay, that sounds very positive for you then. Thank you. Next question, please. And the next question is by Henning Heismeyer of SAZ. No, he's just withdrawn the question. So that question was probably answered. Then currently we do not have any additional questions. Oh, he's back. One second. Okay. No? No, he's gone again. So currently we don't have any additional questions. So if there is any additional question, please call again. So once again, press *1 to ask a question if there are any additional questions. And okay, now we have him. Now we have him. Okay, sorry, I had called in and then out again, but just quickly, one topic that went on in Berlin this week, the Desert Tech Conference, and after Siemens had left the DII group, you had the feeling that the industry support is going down for this, but measures to counteract climate change are interesting for an insurance company, certainly. So that's why I would ask you, do you support the Desert Tech initiative as Allianz? Okay, first of all, thank you very much for your question. Good morning. And the Desert Tech topic is an important one. It is being driven by our neighbors, Munich Re. We are supporting them in many regards. We often have an exchange on technical topics and how the whole question of alternative energy sources can be driven ahead. Our strategy at Allianz is little different in that we have a broader approach. We're investing, as you know, quite a bit, as you might know, quite a bit into wind energy. And here we would also like to enter into the infrastructure topic in this regard. So we have a broader approach and don't focus specifically on the transport of solar energy from North Africa. But nevertheless, we hope that the colleagues will have great success there, and it would be a great thing if that turned out to be a great success. Okay, let me just follow up. Desert Tech is always saying that wind and also water are an important component, so they are not just restricting themselves to solar thermal energy, so maybe the exchange would have to be anew. Well, yeah, if you look at what we are doing, we are much more working in our local on our local markets. In Germany, for example, one third of the electricity in Schleswig-Holstein comes from wind energy these days, and we think it's more important to support the buildup of alternative energies in Germany. Okay, so you won't join the DII consortium instead of in place of Siemens? No. And I think as Munich Re is leading in Desert Tech, and they might be the right company to address your questions to. They might be better suited for this than Allianz. Okay, thank you. Do we have any additional questions right now? No? Yeah. Heike Jaberg of Tagesspiegel again. I just have two short questions. First, just reported that you've done some good business with Italian government bonds, and I would like to know the impairment of $32 million that you've listed. Where do they stem from? And then I wanted to ask you the decision of the German parliament, of the Bundestag, to alleviate for alleviations in the evaluation reserves of insurances. Was that that's necessary from your point of view? Okay, let me start with the second point, valuation reserves. I think this is a little bit misunderstood in public. The correction of valuation reserves was absolutely necessary because we had a completely crazy situation in that at falling interest rates for fixed rate instruments, you create large unrealized gains. And at the same time, which isn't reflected in the balance sheets, at the same time, the value of the guarantees for customers who remain with us will also grow. So there's a parallel development of unrealized gains on fixed rates and instruments and the economic value of liabilities. If you now sell these instruments and realize gains to pay this out to customers at a certain point in time, then you pay out highly important reserves that you need to support your guarantees across long times. And this is our value proposition, that we guarantee capital and interest rate. And this then weakens systematically the ability of the insurance industry to support these guarantees. And this issue has now been corrected. It's certain that dormant reserves that exist with securities, with equities, will continue to be paid out, and because we have volatilities there, and you don't need them so much to support our long-term guarantees. But this was really in the sense of our long-term guarantees and to support them, and therefore it was absolutely correct for the savers. And the second part then, the impairments and revaluations we had in the quarter, that was due to an item we had from a banking institution that in mark-to-market evaluation went down in the third quarter. And this is standard volatility, nothing to do with foreign debt or anything like this. Okay, thank you very much. Do we have any other questions? No, we don't have any additional questions at this point. Okay, then we're glad that we were able to answer all the questions. We would like to thank you very much for your participation. Have a great day and have a great weekend. Thank you also from my side, Mr. Bitte. After 3 years, I'm going into a new job, and I'm looking forward to that new job, and would like to thank you for your cooperation in the last years. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, this ends today's conference. We thank you for your participation. Have a great day.